TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's raised by wolves.
Harden's got to get busy here. Great defense by Okogie. Tremendous defense by the rookie. Timberwolves on a 7-0 run. Towns. And we're knotted at 65. Rose. Oh, he put Fareed in the blender. And hit high. The three on the way. Got it. Jeff Teague stuck on automatic. Towns with a mismatch on Paul. Made him pay.
Tell you what a job by this Minnesota team. What pride, what teamwork.
Well, Timberwolves showing a lot of temerity tonight. And they defeat Houston 121-111.
It is Raised by Wolves on the all-new Score North on 1500scorenorth.com. Those highlights courtesy of ESPN. I'm Rami Makhlouf along with Wolves reporter Danny Cunningham and Manny Hill on the other side of the glass. Lots of Wolves and NBA to talk about here with you in the next hour or so on the heels of what, if you ask me, guys, was the best performance by the Minnesota Timberwolves yet this season. And I have a challenge for you, Danny, and you, Manny, as we talk about this game here, just at the start.
A challenge.
We'll bring up this guy later, but can we talk about last night's game without bringing up Andrew Wiggins, who didn't play in the game?
I don't know why we'd have to bring him up.
Because he comes up anytime you're talking Wolves, and the first thing people want to say is, see, they don't need Andrew Wiggins, which is a question that we'll get into later. I'm just saying for the purposes of talking about this game, can we talk about this game without mentioning Andrew Wiggins?
Is absolutely. That possible? That's absolutely possible.
I'm all for that.
Very possible.
That was one hell of a performance.
It was exciting.
By your Minnesota Timberwolves last night.
I thought that was the best Ryan Saunders has coached since taking over.
Why do you say that?
The stance I'll take, because I think that they were a little shorthanded, obviously. I mean, they still don't have Tyus and Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, not as shorthanded.
Sorry to bring that up, I know, but that is part of the reason as to why. So he had to go into his bag.
You could have just said the player who shall not be named. You could have just gone with that.
I'm going to buzz you guys every time I mention that player's name.
That guy, yes. So they didn't have those two still. No Robert Covington still. So they are still a little banged up here. And I thought some of the moves that he made in terms of having Luol Deng cover James Harden for stretches, pulling Gorgie after only a minute 50 on the court because he realized that quickly that Gorgie was not effective against the Rockets and would not be effective against the Rockets, and then going with Isaiah Kanan in the fourth quarter instead of Jared Bayless, who was atrocious in the first half. I thought that those were all terrific decisions that Saunders made, and that's the reason they won that game. If he sticks with Gorgie for a normal 5 or 6 minute shift, the Wolves might not be able to come back from that. If he goes back to Jared Bayless, who is a minus 13 in 11 minutes in the first half, they might not be able to stay afloat in the fourth quarter.
Minus 13 in 11 minutes.
I believe it might have been closer to 12 minutes, but
still, that's borderline impressive.
It was not so good.
That's so bad, it's borderline impressive.
It was not good, but those little things that he did, I thought made a big difference into winning that game.
I agree. Manny, what did you think about last night's game?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was, to piggyback off of Danny's point, I think Ryan Saunders did a really good job of defending. I mean, it's funny because you look at the box score and James Harden had 42 points, but you could see what Josh Okogie did on the block. Like, that's with Josh Okogie specifically, like that's the kind of stuff that makes people so excited about him, because they know that he can use his length, use his athleticism, he has great footwork. He's going to make rookie mistakes, and he made a few last night. There was one early in the game where he sort of trailed off and left Harden open for an open three, and Harden drilled it.
He went over to Eric Gordon for a split second. Eric Gordon threw the ball right back to Harden, and Harden just buried a three.
Yeah, and that's just a rookie mistake that Josh Okogie's made a few times, but he's a rookie, so you give him a pass for it. But when you look at the block, though, you can see the defensive upside that people are so excited about with him. So, yeah, I mean, Luol Deng, man, like, what he's given them is way beyond anything I could have imagined them giving him when they signed him. And Judd can attest to this. When they signed him last summer, I went on a rant on the air basically just saying, like, and it wasn't ripping Luol Deng as a guy or a teammate or anything like that, but in
just
my mind,
move.
It was just, yeah.
It wasn't the right move.
In my mind, he didn't have anything left.
You were upset that's how they were spending their 15th roster spot.
Right, exactly.
And the funniest part about Lou Alding contributing here is that Lou Alding was looked at as a Tibbs guy, and Tibbs refused to play him. And
right.
Tibbs
yeah,
leaves,
what was that
and
all
now
about?
He's playing and really doing well.
What was that all about? Because I got here just as Tibbs was on his way out. So I don't know the backstory there as to why Lou Alding couldn't get minutes under his favorite head coach.
Well, when Robert Covington was healthy, Covington was playing 35 minutes a night. And if every basketball coach in America is going to play Robert Covington over Lou Alding, it would be senseless not to.
But you would think he could get some minutes off the bench.
They were having trouble finding minutes for Josh Okogie. Tibbs wouldn't expand his rotation past nine guys.
Wait, you mean Tibbs was being stubborn?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Imagine that.
Get out of here. That's crazy.
And back to Okogie, Manny. I think that the most impressive aspect of what he did defensively last night, everyone's going to look at that block that he had of Harden's three-pointer, and that was a very emphatic moment, and that was the highlight of the night. But Okogie kept Harden off the free throw line. Entering last night, Harden had scored 30 or more points in 30 consecutive games. Now, he obviously got his 42 last night, but in that stretch prior to last night's game, and I haven't looked at the numbers this morning when they've been updated because obviously this will go down, but in those 30 games prior to last night, he had been averaging 13.6 free throw attempts per game. He took 4 free throws last night. Mm. That's a big reason as to why they were able to be successful about him is because they kept him off the free throw line.
And he had to take 22 threes last night.
That's a kind of a normal number for him at this point. I mean, the Rockets have nobody. Like they're
I was just going to say that. I don't want to put a damper on the excitement of that win last night because we all agree, at least I think we all agree, that was the best performance by the Timberwolves. But this isn't the Houston Rockets team that we saw last year at all.
I mean, Kenneth Faried is number 7 in the NBA in DNP coaches' decisions, could not get off the bench in Brooklyn. P.J. Tucker he's a good role player, but he's P.J. Tucker. Eric Gordon has not played well this year. Austin Rivers got bought out, and they got him off of the buyout market. Like, they're not. Nene is 90 years old. Chris Paul has not been good this year.
Chris Paul has just not been good at all, yeah.
I'm sure he's 90. I'm going to fact check you on that.
I think it's 90.
Okay.
It might be right. 92, okay. Actually. I could be wrong.
No, you're right. 92. I just checked.
Yeah, thank you.
I just Googled it. He's 92 years old.
Yes, exactly. Yep. So, James Harden, everyone wants to say that what the Rockets are doing is ugly, it's boring, they don't like it, they think it's a disgrace to basketball, whatever. This is the only way they can win. They have no other options. The Rockets don't want to play the way that they're playing. They want to play the way they played last year, where Harden and Chris Paul and Eric Gordon can all kind of split the load. But those guys haven't been good enough to do that.
So what happened to them from last year to this year?
Losing Trevor Ariza was big. Chris Paul is not the same.
Yeah, he just keeps getting older.
He keeps getting older. That hamstring's still not right. Clint Capella is their second best player. He's now missed, I think, 5 weeks, and he's not going to be back until after the... Well, obviously, now it is the All-Star break, so he's not going to be back until after that.
They lost Luke Bamute, too. It was a big part of what they did last year.
Even though he was hurt for the playoff run last year, he was a big thing in the regular season. So they've lost a lot of guys. I mean, for a large chunk of time, they were starting Daniel House, who's in the G League, because his two-way contract expired. They couldn't come to terms with him, and he ran out of NBA days. You're only allowed 45 days as a two-way player, and they used up all of his days. And they couldn't come to a contract agreement to put him on the actual NBA roster, so he's not allowed to play in games right now.
Do you agree with Karl Anthony Towns, and this is a quote, that it wasn't a good 42 by James Harden last night?
And Harden did not play well last night.
It wasn't 42 he's been getting recently. You know, he had to work for it.
Yes, I completely agree with that, because Harden wasn't very efficient. He was 15 of 34 from the field, which, like, that's a huge shot total number. But who else on that roster do you want taking shots?
Nobody.
Because Chris Paul is not the same right now. I was talking with John Krasinski of The Athletic, who sits next to me at games, and he looked at me and goes, man, I think we're watching the end of Chris Paul as an elite player. And I looked back at him, I go, John, I think those days are, like, firmly over.
Yeah.
When he blew out his hamstring last year in the Western Conference Finals, he has not looked anything close to that this year.
But you were more impressed with the 42 and what James Harden has done than our guy, Judd Zulgad, who you had to exchange with as we made the crossover.
I was not impressed with last night's game.
Okay.
And I understand Judd thinking that it's ugly basketball and that, well, yeah, he took 34 shots. Of course he's going to score 42 points. And I agree. He didn't play well last night. Okogie played really well on him. Harden did not have his way offensively. It was not one of his better performances, despite the 42 points. But my thing here is they don't have options. Like, it is
they have to do this.
Yes, this is the only avenue for them to become successful. This isn't how Mike D'Antoni, the coach of the Rockets, wants to play, but it's their only option. You kind of have to adjust or be left in the dust, and this is the only adjustment they have. They don't have anything else that they can do. If they're going to win, they're going to win this way. They're not good enough to win other ways right now.
I'll say this about James Harden, and then we'll get back to the Wolves and that player who shall not be named. There is one thing about his game that I can't stand watching, and he's not unique. He's just the best at it. I can't stand when NBA players go up with no intention of taking an actual shot that might fall through the hoop, strictly going up looking for a foul. That always bothers me, and James Harden is the best at it.
It is a skill.
I'm not saying it's not entertaining.
Sure, you can say you can. Here's my thing with the Rockets and James Harden. You can be annoyed by James Harden. Absolutely. I was having this conversation with a friend that used to cover the league as well. And he really dislikes the way Harden plays. And I said, that's fine. You can not like James Harden. You can be annoyed by the way James Harden plays. But to say that he is absolutely not one of the best in the world at his
craft. And I'm not saying that.
I know you're not. But to say that he is not one of the absolute best in the world and phenomenal at his craft is absolutely foolish. Drawing fouls, I'm not going to call it an art form because it's ugly, but it is 100% a skill. And James Harden is the most skilled player in the world at doing that. And that's a big part of his game. You don't want to put him on the free throw. You don't want him to draw fouls. You have to play how the Wolves did yesterday and not foul him, not give him those opportunities, because that's the only way you beat him. You can't let him. And sure, maybe the Wolves got lucky with a couple calls, but for the most part, they did a really good job of not fouling him. I mean, he took four free throws, one of which was a three-pointer for a four-point play that Okogie fouled him on. He had another and one, and then he had another one where he was fouled at the rim, but that was it. They did a tremendous job of not allowing him to kind of goad defenders into that kind of contact.
And I agree. I agree with everything that you just said and every other aspect of James Harden's game. Highly entertaining. I like watching the dude. But whenever he does that, I'm like, come on, man.
That's fine. But they are fouls. If you go look at him, he gets fouled. He does a tremendous job of getting defenders to get into his body.
It's just cheap. Do you agree with me, Manny? It's just cheap and it's not entertaining basketball.
I don't love it. In fact, it does drive me crazy, but it's like it's how he plays, and he's really good at it, and it's working for him, and it's a big part of why he's gone 31 straight games of getting 30 points, because he's very crafty at drawing fouls and getting to the free throw line, and of course he's obviously a very good free throw shooter. He's very efficient at the free throw line too, so it works. It's effective, and even though it's ugly, it works, so it's hard for me to really knock it.
I think cheap is the wrong way to put it, because he does get fouled. And if you don't want to put him on the free throw line, don't foul him. Honestly, I understand it's not entertaining, because guys going to the free throw line over and over and over again is not entertaining basketball. No one wants to watch that. It's not a fun product to be entertained by as a consumer. That's not what you want. But it's not cheap either. The guy gets fouled. It's not like he's getting the benefit of the whistle.
Because he goes up with no intention of making a shot.
Not always. I mean, how
often? Not always, no. But you can see when he does it.
The reason you think that is his size. Because if Giannis draws the same type of contact and throws it up, well, he's 6'11". It's easier for him to look that way. When LeBron, who's 6'8", 260 pounds, it's easier to look like that. James Harden, 6'5", 6'6", 200 pounds. He's not the giant that those other basketball players are. So it's easier for them to look like they're taking a legitimate shot. When he's a guard that's not as big as those guys, it's a much tougher thing to do because of his size. And he is very strong for his size, too. His lower body strength is phenomenal. That's why he's been given a lot of crap for his defense in the past, but his defense has been pretty slightly above average this year, and he's a tremendous post defender for a guard.
I feel like his beard is strong too. Like it's almost armor. His beard is like it protects him from people.
When I wrote about earlier in the year, when I wrote about the best NBA players in a fight, I put James Harden in there because his footwork and that beard has to absorb punches.
You would think so, yeah.
If he gets punched in the face, I promise it doesn't hurt as bad as if you got punched in the face.
Because
his beard is just so thick.
And I got a glass jaw. I'll admit that right here on the air. I don't fight.
That's fair.
Who won that, by the way? Your article on who would win?
James Johnson.
Okay.
Miami.
And that makes sense. He has MMA training, does he not? He's
7-0 as a professional MMA fighter. I don't think anyone in the NBA would.
He would destroy everyone.
Yeah, I don't think anyone in the NBA would.
With the free throw thing with and drawing fouls with James Harden, too, it's a lot like a hitter in baseball who draws a lot of walks.
Yeah.
It's not exciting. It's not really entertaining to watch a guy go up to the plate and foul off six pitches and then draw the walk. But it's like, then you look at his on base percentage, and if his on base percentage is 380 or 390, even though he only has like a 275 batting average, it's like, well, this guy's getting on base. Same thing with Harden.
That's a really good comparison, Manny. That's a very good comparison because it works, and it works for him. And if you don't want to put a guy on base, throw him strikes. If you don't want James Harden to get to the free throw line, don't foul him.
That's Danny Cunningham, our Wolves reporter. Find that column on who would win a fight in the NBA and all his other thoughts and musings on the Wolves in the NBA at scorenorth.com. And you can find all our fine, fine content there. If you're looking for our team-centric shows, again, you'll find it at scorenorth.com or wherever you get your favorite podcast. And all you got to do is search Score North Wolves. If this is the show you're looking for, we also have Myron on Hoops. We have lots of Wolves programming for you. Or search Score North Twins, Score North Vikings, whatever it is that you're looking for.
Or just Wolves.
Or just Wolves. Danny is a very selfish young man, and he wants you to only listen to Danny Cunningham talking about the Wolves.
Very selfish.
Okay. So that's where you can find that. You can also follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. We made it real easy for you. It's at SKOR North, and you can get in on the show at 651-646-8255 or tweet us at Score North.
We need an update from you.
On?
Do you have Rami is twitching yet?
I don't have Rami is twitching.
Rami, come on.
Is anybody else going to take that? I got time.
Someone listening might right now.
And then ask me to buy it.
Some other Rami in the world is gonna take that handle.
I might take it. That sounds like a that quick, dude. That sounds like a quick $50.
That dude in Syria who got me on a watch list. He's gonna take it.
Yeah. I would.
More Wolves talk, and we'll get into that player who shall not be named right after this. It's Raised by Wolves on Score North on 1500 and ScoreNorth.com.
Hey, Minnesota sports fans, Phil Mackey here, introducing you to the all-new Score North on 1500, where you'll find Purple Daily at noon, Matthew Collar 2 to 4, and Mackey and Jeb with Rami from 4 to 6. Over at scorenorth.com, that's S-K-O-R, in addition to great written content, you'll find some of the most entertaining local Minnesota sports podcasts, Purple Podcast, Raised by Wolves, Myron Medcalf on Hoops, Touch 'Em All, Royce Unchained, and plenty more. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, all at Score North. Minnesota sports, anytime.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called Needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Binge listen Minnesota sports. ScoreNorth.com.
Raised by Wolves on Score North on 1500, ScoreNorth.com. Follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Twitch. It's at SKOR North. I'm Rami Makhlouf, Danny Cunningham, Wolves reporter, Manny Hill on the other side of the glass. If you want to get in at 651-646-8255 or tweet us at Score North. Now we can mention the player whose name was not to be mentioned in the entire first segment of the show. Because my question for you, Danny, and you, Manny, is, are the Wolves actually better without Andrew Wiggins? Because Judd Zulgad thinks so. He put a column up last night at scorenorth.com. I'll read you a little bit of it. He said the Wolves saw strong evidence this week that they are better off with Deng on the floor and Wiggins at home. Latest example came Wednesday in Minnesota's 121-111 victory over the Houston Rockets before an enthusiastic gathering of 15-131 at the Target Center. He says the Wolves will head into the All-Star break with a 27-30 record, 3.5 games out of the eighth and final playoff spot under Ryan Saunders. Minnesota's next game will be February 22nd against the Knicks. Wiggins will be back by then, but the Wolves will be better off. Will the Wolves be better off because of it? No one associated with the Wolves is going to answer that question honestly, but watching the past two games, it's clear this is a different team without Wiggins, and that's not a bad thing. Are they better off without Andrew Wiggins?
So the one thing I think that has kind of gone under the radar while Wiggins has been out, and yes, Lou Alding's been great, but look how good the point guard play has been. Jeff Teague was awesome last night. I think last night we can all say was the best game that Jeff Teague has played in a Wolves uniform this season. He hit 27 points, he hit 12 assists, he was 11 of 16 from the floor. He was terrific. He was a big reason as to why they won that game. And then if you go back to Monday night against the Clippers, Teague was a plus 22 in 35 minutes. He had 19 points and 10 assists. So Jeff Teague is playing at a really high level. And furthermore, Derrick Rose played really well on Monday night too. He finished with 22 points and 6 assists in the win. So yeah, Andrew Wiggins hasn't been there. And Luol Deng hasn't directly replaced that production. But I think you need to look at just how good Jeff Teague and Derrick Rose have been.
Is that because Wiggins is ball dominant and those guys also need the ball in their hands to be at their best?
I think Jeff Teague has been more aggressive and Wiggins and Rose when they're
Teague
healthy.
Teague was very aggressive last night and Chris Paul seems to bring out the best in him.
Yes, he does. When they're healthy, Rose and Wiggins don't spend a whole ton of time on the floor together as they would like to be constituted, especially while Covington's out. But when that's the case, Rose still tends to be the ball dominant one and Wiggins kind of floats in those minutes. And
right.
Which that happens when Derrick Rose is on the floor because he is still explosive and needs the ball in his hand so often to make things happen for himself offensively. That's why. But I think that you need to take a serious look at how good those two have been. And even Rose last night wasn't great by any stretch of the imagination, but he still had 12 points and 4 assists and actually kept his minutes down. I think he was just under 23 minutes, which was a win for the Wolves alone. But you need to look at how good those two have been before you say, oh, well, they're better without Andrew Wiggins, because that doesn't exist in a vacuum.
Right. But do you think they are better without Andrew Wiggins?
I don't know. I haven't seen enough. But
hot take. I don't know.
Well, it's tough for me to say.
No, I respect the honesty. I respect the honesty in you saying you don't know.
It's tough because you don't know what he's... You are going to have nights like that game against OKC where he had 40 points and they don't win that game without him. But then it's fair to wonder, do they beat the Clippers with him? Do they beat the Rockets with him? If he's guarding James Harden for any amount of time instead of Luol Deng or Josh Okogie,
you have to do air quotes
happens?
When you say guarding.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're talking about Andrew Wiggins, you have to do the air quotes when you say guarding.
So that's the issue, is if he spends time on James Harden, what happens? Luol Deng and Josh Okogie both did a fine job. I know Harden had 42, but they did a fine job on Harden.
Made it hard for him.
If Wiggins is covering him, what happens? That's when it's tough.
So are they better without Andrew Wiggins?
I don't have a legitimate answer for that. And it's only been two games.
I know. It's small sample size.
It's foolish to say, oh, well, they look like a playoff team in the last two games. Yeah, they're on pace. If you take the last two games, they're on pace to go 82-0. They beat the Warriors record for wins in the season. They never lose. Everything would be happy.
Manny, do you have an answer?
I don't know if they're better without him. I don't think that they're worse without him.
Why aren't you criticizing him? He didn't know.
Because I'm waiting. That's not his whole thought. I'm waiting. I waited until you were done before I crushed you.
I look at it like this. I mean, if the Timberwolves don't have Karl Anthony Towns, they're worse.
Obviously, yes.
It's kind of a bad example because it's obvious. But
to go back at Danny's point of it's a small sample size, you would be able to tell in two games that the Wolves were worse off without Karl Anthony Towns, right?
Okay. Yeah, easily. But like with Andrew Wiggins, it's like, I don't know if him being absent is going to make them better than what they've been with him, but I don't think it makes them any worse. And I think that more so just shows that he's not a plus player for them right now. I don't think he moves the needle for them over the course of a season where you look at him and say, boy, you know, you go through an 82-game season and he doesn't play at all, and let's say they win X amount of games, and you say, boy, if they would have had Wiggins all season long, they would have won. I feel like they would have won such and such more games. I don't think he moves the needle like that for them.
I think, and Danny, maybe you can answer this one. I think we can, like Manny just said, we can definitely say they're not any better off with him on the floor, are they?
It doesn't appear so, no. It's hard to say that. It's really hard to say that they look better with him.
And I don't know how, as a franchise, you move forward when you have a guy who's in the first year of a max contract and doesn't make the team better when he's on the floor. I'll go with you and say we can't necessarily decide that the team is better off without Andrew Wiggins, but we can all sit here and say today that they're not better with him. If anything, it's close to the same with or without Andrew Wiggins. And I don't know how you move forward as a franchise when you have a guy in the first year of a max contract who doesn't make your team better when he's on the floor. That's the albatross of all albatrosses in the NBA.
It's second. It's the second worst contract in the NBA, but it's bad. It's going. They have an uphill battle to fight here with this Wiggins deal. Unless he really improves, they're going to struggle. And it's not just the Wiggins deal; it's the Gorgui Dieng deal too.
Mm-hmm.
Gorgui played a minute 50 last night, 1 minute and 50 seconds on the court.
It's a guy scored making no points, had one rebound,
and he's making $16 million.
That's
a problem.
That's insane.
That's almost as bad as the Andrew Wiggins contract. At least Andrew Wiggins can give you minutes. At least you can, I realize he's sick, but entering this season, he had missed one game in his career, and I think he's missed six this year. So he's, the one thing you really can't knock him for is his availability. He doesn't get hurt. He's on the court almost every night for you, and that's the one thing you absolutely cannot knock him for. But he'll give you 30 minutes a game. It might not be the best 30 minutes, but you're going to get 30 minutes out of him. You can't get 2 minutes out of Gorgui Dieng right now, and he's getting $16 million a year. That's a problem.
That's a lot of money on the Wolves' payroll that is not making this basketball team better.
Mm-hmm. It's $41 million combined.
You can't move forward and greatly improve yourself as long as that's what you're dealing with.
You absolutely cannot.
And that's why everything that they do this summer is going to be critical. Every move that they make, like, they're not going to make the playoffs. This lottery pick that they're going to have, wherever it is, whether it's 10th or they
number one,
luck into number one. I mean, number one, you get Zion Williamson and you're good to go. That helps you tremendously. But like, if they get the seventh pick in the draft, if they end up with the seventh pick, like, they need to hit on that pick somehow.
Yeah.
Either hit on that pick and with using that pick to draft somebody, or they need to, in some sort of a trade, be able to turn that pick into something that is going to help them, because they're not going to, you got Taj's deal coming off the books. You're going to have Tolliver's deal coming up, but it's with Kat's deal starting up, they're not going to gain $20 million in cap space because Taj and AT are coming off the books.
Right.
Like, so they're not going to just, because those guys are coming off that, oh yeah, well, we can just go spend $20 million on somebody in free agency. Like, that's not how it's going to work. So they need to find other ways to get better players on this team. And because you have this huge contract, these huge contracts that are on the roster, it's going to make things very, very difficult. And your margin for error is just that much smaller.
Because the best way to offset big contracts of guys who aren't producing is guys who are on rookie contracts, mm-hmm, who are producing, which leads us to Josh Okogie, who was...
Well, hang on, before close the Wiggins conversation here,
mm-hmm,
he's 335th in the NBA in win shares. He's behind guys like Cameron...
Out of 450 players, is that right? 450 players in the NBA?
Let me see how many Basketball Reference has listed here. But they have 432 players listed. Isaiah Thomas is in last place. He made his season debut last night.
Mm-hmm.
He is in last place with a 0.0 win share. Wiggins is 335th. He's behind guys like Cameron Payne, who's been cut by the Bulls, and then
he's just
spent
bad.
20 days in Cleveland on 10-day contracts and then not re-signed for the rest of the season. Abdel Nader. Do you know who that is?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm fully willing to admit I don't know Abdel Nader. Sounds like
Dwight Howard has
sounds
played.
Sounds like he could be one of my people, though.
Dwight Howard has played in 9 games and has a higher win share total than Andrew Wiggins. 9 games.
But does that tell you that win share is maybe a little bit of a flawed statistic? If a guy can play 9 games and have a greater win share than Andrew Wiggins?
Who's no, it means he's contributing more, because if you go look at the top of the win share leaderboard, it's the names you would expect. Giannis moved into first last night. He's at 10.6. James Harden's at 10.5. Rudy Gobert is up there. He contributes to winning. Paul George is fourth. He is in the MVP conversation. Kevin Durant's fifth. Anthony Davis is sixth.
Where's Kat?
Kat is ninth. Kat's been awesome. And you can tell, like, that agrees with the eye test. Kat has been unbelievable this year. He's ninth with an 8.0 ahead of Steph Curry and Joel Embiid and Kawhi Leonard and Steven Adams and Kyrie Irving and all of these guys, because he's been so good. Andrew Wiggins is 335th.
And this goes back to the conversation, Danny, that we had the other day with Dane about how what's happening now, too, is Wiggins and Towns are being lumped together into this conversation of, oh, well, the Wolves, you know, they don't have an identity, and oh, they don't play hard, and they're not committed on defense and everything, and they're not engaged. And Kat gets lumped into that conversation, and it's not fair. It's not fair to him, because really the reality is it's Andrew Wiggins. When they describe all of those things, they're talking about Andrew Wiggins. They're not talking about Karl Anthony Towns, but Kat's getting lumped into that conversation, and it's not fair to him.
Mm-hmm. It's not fair one bit to Karl Anthony Towns, because he's been so good
fantastic.
This year. He absolutely deserves to be an all-star. He might be an all-NBA player at the end of the year. He might.
Since you brought him up, and we'll hold off on the Josh Coey discussion.
Zaza Pachulia ahead of Andrew Wiggins.
Love Zaza. I just like saying Zaza.
It's a very good
name. It's a fun name to say. We'll get to the Coey discussion in the next segment, but what the hell happened to Dwight Howard?
His back. I believe he had to have... I know he was having some issues with his glutes.
Mm-hmm.
I think
don't
like,
we
he,
all?
He had, but I think he had like a muscle tear in his glutes.
In his butt,
yeah, or something like he had to have surgery.
Really?
Yeah, he's had back issues for a long time. Like, his body's just breaking down. That's when you are as good as he was in the late 2000s and early 2010s.
And boy, was he good.
He was so good.
I really thought he was Shaq 2.0.
But we hadn't seen... Shaq was a bigger guy than Dwight. We had never seen a guy of Dwight's size rely on that type of athleticism.
Right.
And that's why you just can't sustain that. That's why he fell off a cliff when he did, because he just wasn't as athletic. He couldn't jump like he used to, and that's why he was so good. But
his game was so much predicated on how athletic he was.
He was a bigger, stronger, better athlete than everyone on the floor for
right.
the most part.
And he would just bully people.
Yes, that's why he was unbelievable. He was a top 5 player in the NBA for a time.
Yeah.
Like, he legitimately was, but because
that... Because he did it on both sides of the court. It wasn't just...
He was a defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was awesome. But because of that relying on your athleticism... You break down as you get older.
Yeah.
And especially at that size, you just can't keep up with that for a very long time. So that's what happened to Dwight.
I'm a child, because even though the situation isn't funny and it's affected this guy's career and life, butt surgery is funny to me. I don't know if
it was on his butt. It might have been on his back, but I know he was having glute issues.
Well, I'm just going to say it was butt surgery, because that's funny to me.
Might have been. I don't
it's
know.
It's raised by Wolves on the all-new Score North on 1500 and scorenorth.com. Get in on the show at 651-646-8255 or tweet us at Score North. On the other side, we're going to talk about Josh Okogie and just what his ceiling is. And if we have time, some news and notes from around the rest of the NBA. That's Danny. That's Manny. I'm Rami. And we're back right after this.
Know all the positions. Score North. Minnesota sports, anytime, anywhere. ScoreNorth.com.
Harden's got to get busy here. Great defense by Okogie. Tremendous defense by the rookie.
That highlight courtesy of ESPN. This is raised by Wolves on Score North on 1500 and ScoreNorth.com. I almost said 1500 ESPN.
What's that? Actually, it is Throwback Thursday.
Oh, he's got his 1500 ESPN t-shirt on.
Throwback Thursday today.
Nice. Well done. That was Josh Okogie, who last night, now again, I'm somewhat new to this. Is that the best game you've ever watched Josh Okogie play?
He's had some good
ones.
I don't know.
The defensive effort and given the task that was around him and having to stop an MVP, which James Harden is.
Last year's MVP. Okay, I thought you were saying this year.
He is an MVP.
All right, we'll get it.
That is not a debate.
No, he is an MVP. He hasn't won an MVP.
And having to stop an MVP and someone that's in the midst of a ridiculous scoring streak. And to say he stopped him, I don't think you can do, but you can say that he absolutely did a tremendous job defending him. And he contributed offensively as well, which kind of gets overlooked. I mean, he had 16 points last night. He had a couple big shots, but he's had a couple other games. Like he had that 21-point game against the Suns earlier this year. That was a big night for him. He had a big game against the Pelicans when they came to town right after the firing of Thibodeau when he had 17 points. So he's had some good games, but last night's definitely one of the top two or three games.
Because this is the first time I turned on SportsCenter in the morning, Manny, and Josh Okogie was a story and was a guy who was being mentioned over and over and over again and found his way into the top 10 plays of the day. And I know that you don't necessarily want to use that as a gauge as to how good a game a guy had or if that was his best game. I'm just saying that even when I wasn't here in the Twin Cities, that's the first time that I saw Josh Okogie with a spotlight on him on a nationally televised TV show.
Yeah, and I think when you look at his season as a whole, I mean, it's been kind of up and down in terms of, I mean, when Tibbs was still coaching, he didn't really have a definitive role. I mean, he was, the only time he was really getting significant playing time was when somebody was injured. Otherwise, he was just not in the rotation at all. And I remember early in the season, when he was getting a little bit more playing time, Danny, you said it.
He
just does things. And a lot of times you can't even really look at the box score that he had. You can't look at like his shooting numbers, and which obviously there's a lot of room for growth there. But you just see the little intangible things that he does on the floor, deflecting things, playing with high energy, just being in the right place at the right time. I mean, there's just little things that you can't really account for in the box score that makes people excited about the type of player that he can potentially be.
There was one moment in the game yesterday when I think he actually stole the ball from Harden, or it may have been somebody else, but he got a steal, raced down to the other end, missed the layup, got the offensive rebound, fell to the ground, basically rolled the ball out to Dario Šarić, and Šarić the ball hit the three. Just got there, like barely made it there, and Šarić knocked down the three. And it was the most Josh Okogie thing of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was more Josh Okogie than the block. It was more Josh Okogie than any of the three-pointers that he hit. It was the most Josh Okogie sequence of the night, and maybe the season.
Is it fair to say, because he was a first-round pick, but a later first-round pick.
And 20th overall.
In the NBA draft, I think once you get past the lottery picks, for the most part, you look at the guys and you go, at best, it's a 50-50 shot. That this guy is a major contributor to our team at some point down the line. Is it fair to say he's, for his rookie season, obviously we hope there's still room for growth and improvement, but for his rookie season, would you think it's fair to say that he's already exceeded expectations?
I do. I think that he's been awesome this year. I don't think that they could have expected anything more than what they've gotten from him. The hope is that he'll still continue to develop as a shooter and that continue to get better on the offensive end, but the hope is that he can still be a very good defender, which he has been, and really be one of those 3-and-D guys. And his ceiling is a good starter on a playoff team, a team that can go to the Western Conference Finals, a team that could maybe compete for a championship. His ceiling is to be that fourth or fifth guy in the starting lineup.
And that's what I was just about to get to, is what do you think Josh Okogie can be? You say a starter on a playoff team, on a good NBA team.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a guy. Like a comparable guy who Josh Okogie, when he develops and blossoms and reaches that ceiling, give me a guy who you think Josh Okogie could be.
I tried to do this last night.
You're not going to give me another non-answer, are you?
I have a couple, but they're not perfect.
Okay, I'll take not perfect.
The one that was thrown out to me was Ron Harper on the Bulls back in the day.
Okay.
And the Wolves are never going to be what those Bulls teams were.
Right. Like,
they're just not.
Right.
But that role is something that I could see happening. And I think that is very possible. I think that's a pretty fair comparison for Josh. or if you look at maybe Marcus Smart in Boston, but better offensively, because Marcus Smart's having a career year offensively and he's shooting like 35%, like a career year on that end of the floor, and it's still not that good. But if he could be a better offensive version of that and maybe falls down less than Marcus Smart does, because I don't think there's a real stat for this, but you cannot convince me otherwise that Marcus Smart leads the league in time spent actually on the ground in the NBA. Like, there's no way anyone is close.
You're not talking like minutes on the floor.
No, I'm talking
you mean
like
time laying on the ground.
Like things other than his feet touching the floor. He has to lead the league in that category. There's no way anyone else.
I'll take your word for it. You watch a lot more NBA than I do. I'll take your word for it.
It has to be.
I want to see that stat though. I want
someone to do it. I don't have enough time to watch actually every single NBA game and time how much time guys spend on the floor.
Are you dedicated to this or what? You don't watch every minute of every NBA game?
No, I don't. I'm sorry. I've not seen a ton of New York Knicks lately.
Come on!
Or Cleveland Cavaliers lately.
Oh, man.
Although one of my favorite stats...
Dennis Smith Jr. is there now.
Dennis Smith Jr. is fine. I think he can be good.
Dennis, I know.
One of my favorite NBA stats, there was a... Obviously, the James Harden 30-point streak is what everyone's talking about in terms of streaks in the NBA right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he scored 30 points or more now in 31 consecutive games. The Cavs had their own 30-point streak broken last night. They had gone 57 games this season without a 30-point score. They finally had a 30-point score for the very first time last night, and it only took three overtimes to get there.
Who was it?
Jordan Clarkson actually had 42 points, I believe, last night.
Wow. Go ahead, Jordan.
But they played the Nets. It went into three overtimes. They lost 148 to 139. He was 16 of 34 from the field in 48 minutes and scored 42 points. That's what it took for them to get a 30-point score for the first time this year.
Hey, whatever it takes, okay?
That was nice.
Manny, what do you think Josh Okogie's ceiling is? Give me a guy.
I think on the high end and maybe even a little bit better was... And I think he can sustain this level of play a lot longer than the guy I'm going to use as an example. When I look at that really good Pacers team in 2014 and Lance Stephenson,
is he as musically talented?
I mean, not many people are.
I don't think Josh Okogie is going to be like trying to blow in LeBron James's ear or anything.
That's one
like
of my
that.
Favorite NBA moments.
I agree.
Like, just think about
it. I'm
like,
with you.
They are playing in the Eastern Conference Finals, and he leans over against LeBron, and that's amazing. We take that moment for granted. We don't appreciate how funny that was. That was amazing.
Oh, I appreciate it. That was great. And my favorite thing was the memes that followed it.
Oh, yeah.
Of Lance Stephenson blowing things over or blowing at other people or causing, like, blizzards or hurricanes.
We should have him blowing kisses for Valentine's Day today.
Go talk to Seth right now. Don't even do the rest of the show. That's a great idea. Go get that to Seth right away. I want that to happen. By the way, our Score North Valentines have been put out on
Twitter.
Do you
like yours?
At SKOR North. I like it. I like the... I like the one that ended up on the cutting room floor better, to be honest with you.
That one was a good one.
I don't even know if I can say what it was on the air.
Judd has the best one.
Yeah, Judd's is great. It's just Judd. Well, should I say it or should I make people go to Score North?
Go to at Score North on Twitter.
Check it out on Twitter.
Check out our Valentine's to you, the Score North listener. All right, let's take a quick look. We got about 5 minutes left in the show at some other NBA news and notes, storylines around the association. First of all, for much of the season, the talk has been of a two-man race for MVP, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
A third guy has firmly planted himself in that race, and that's Paul George.
Yes. What Paul George has done over the last 4 or 5 weeks is nothing short of amazing. He is, I think, in my opinion, the defensive player of the year in the NBA, and he has lit the world on fire. Offensively, he's shooting over 40% from three on over 9 attempts per game, which is outrageous. Like, those are Steph Curry numbers right there.
Yeah.
And he's defensively, as I just said, he's been amazing. And that team has really started to take off. They got off to a slow start this year, but they've been awesome since. And Paul George is the reason. When part of the reason for OKC struggles last year in integrating him was Russ Westbrook was quote unquote the best player or operated as such. But the best version of that team, no matter who they thought was the best player, was when they treated Paul George as the best player.
Right.
What Paul George has turned into this year is exactly what Kevin Durant was his final year in OKC. Paul George is the same person as that player right now.
Yeah.
He has been nothing short of incredible. And I think that he absolutely belongs in the conversation with both Harden and Giannis so far. I think there's still a tiny gap between him and Giannis for that number two spot. But I think that the gap between him and Joel Embiid or whoever you have fourth is getting wider every single day.
How much do you think it is, though? And I agree with everything that you just said about the style of play in Oklahoma City and deferring to Paul George as the best player on that team and that leading to him taking the next level. I know people didn't forget the injury that he suffered when he was playing for Team USA, but I think sometimes people don't realize what it takes to come back from an injury like that and the time that it takes to come back from an injury like that and be the guy that you were beforehand. I think a lot of people, they turn on their TVs and they go, oh, Paul George is on the court. That must mean he's healthy and back to being Paul George.
Yeah.
Manny, I think a lot of this has to do with him now being, what is it, 2 full years removed from that injury?
Longer than that. I believe it happened in the summer of 2014.
14, yeah.
The summer following 2014. So we just talked about that Pacers team. That was the team that lost in the Eastern Conference Finals when Lance was into LeBron's ear. It was that team. It was that summer with Team USA when he broke his leg.
But and at that time,
it's been over 4 years.
He was a guy who looked like
almost five
on the verge of taking that next step into that a top tier player. And now 3-4 years removed from that injury, now it looks like he's back to being himself physically. And finally taking that step he was about to take pre-injury.
And he's better than he's ever been like in his entire career. Like he is so much better just on the defensive side of things. The fact that he's, and you know, defense is, it's sometimes it's hard to, like, you really got to use the eye test a lot. I mean, there's some metrics, but they don't really tell the whole story. Stop looking at me like that, Danny.
The eye test.
I'm a big eye test guy. I'm with you, man.
But when you just look at the way Paul George defends people and the fact that he has to be their number one scoring option and he takes on the toughest defensive responsibility as well for them. I mean, he's been unbelievable for them. It's been incredible. I'm happy for him because I was a huge fan of him before the injury, and I was worried when that injury happened, like, is he ever going to be the same guy again? And the fact that he's come back and had this kind of a season has just been tremendous. I'm happy for him.
I mean, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, I believe, where you, Rami, you said that Derrick Rose was the most fascinating what if.
Right.
What if he had never gotten hurt? And I kind of...
You said Paul George.
I said Paul George was mine because in my opinion, Paul George had the second most gruesome knee injury I've seen in basketball.
Yeah,
behind Sean Livingston.
Gross.
And if you guys remember, Sean Livingston's was
also like really
almost
gross.
Had to have his leg amputated.
That was one where I watched it once and I never wanted to see it again.
More than enough.
Never wanted to see it again.
And credit to Sean for having a tremendous career at post that knee injury.
Absolutely.
Too. But that's what Paul George's injury was. And for him to come back and do this, I think is crazy.
Broke his tibia, right? I think his tibia just.
I don't remember which bone it was, but yeah, it just kind of snapped.
I thought it was his lower legs just snapped.
Let's say voting is today, and we have a vote. Manny, who's your NBA MVP?
James Harden.
Rami, you are so unqualified.
I won't even argue with you on that point, but we're still going to do this. Danny, who's your MVP?
Like Manny, I would vote for James Harden.
How are you guys? How am I the least qualified guy on this show, and I'm the one with the right answer? It's Giannis.
You do not have the
Giannis
right answer.
Giannis is the MVP right now,
no,
man.
No, he's not.
I predicted Giannis at the start of the season, but it's been James Harden.
Who's better at making the players around them better?
I think that Giannis has a better supporting cast around him. And I don't, if you want to go.
Or does that supporting cast look better because Giannis makes them better?
No, Chris Middleton could have been really an all-star good. Last year.
But Chris Middleton.
When Giannis was not making him better.
But Chris Middleton is a guy who people were waiting and waiting and waiting for him to blossom and do what he's doing now. And he didn't do it until Giannis's game took that next step.
No, he did it last year. Last year in the playoffs, he was the best player on their team. Chris Middleton was the best player. You could say Chris Middleton was the best player on the floor in that seven-game series between the Bucks and the Celtics last year in April.
Okay, but that's one series.
Doesn't matter. He was the best player for them at points last year. So it's not, oh, he needed Giannis to take that next step for himself to take the next step. He's been this good. There was an argument for him to be an all-star last year, so I don't want to hear that. Eric Bledsoe is in a contract year and stepping his game up because I feel bad for who's going to pay him next.
But again, that's Eric Bledsoe, a guy who underachieved until Giannis started doing Giannis things.
Underachieved until he needed to get paid. That's what it is. He underachieved until he said, oh, well, I'm getting paid this year.
All right, we'll have to keep fighting about this off the air. But Giannis is the MVP. That's Danny Cunningham. Find his work and his musings on the Wolves and the NBA at scorenorth.com. That's Manny Hill. I'm Rami Makhlouf. This has been Raised by Wolves on Score North on 15.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.